Welcome to the Flood Church Sermon Podcast, where we bring you sermons from our teaching team at Flood Church Lilongwe, Malawi. For more information, you can go to floodchurch.com.
I read from John chapter 4, verse 21 to 26, and Philippians 3, verse 2 to 4. John 4, verse 21 to 26. So I want to ask you guys to stand as we'll be reading the Word of God together this morning. John 4, verse 21. Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about one you worship, while we Jews know about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so that who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus told her, "I am the Messiah." Philippians 3, verse 2 to 4. Watch out for those dogs. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put not confidence in human effort. Though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could, indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. Thank you, Jesus, for you are good. May you be worshipped. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Have your seat. In the passage of the Samaritan woman, just the context of that is just Jesus Christ, you know, he is moving with his disciples, and then it turns out to be that, you know, it was kind of like noonish. He was hungry like you are at the moment. So the disciples went to look for food, like what the guys are doing outside. And when he was just waiting for them to bring food, he went by the well and he met this lady, a Samaritan woman, who came to draw water. So he said to the lady, "Hey, can you please draw me some water?" And she said, "Come on, why are you asking me for water? Jews and Samaritans do not associate. And why do you want me to give you water?" And Jesus says, "Actually, by the way, I want to tell you, you know, if you knew who you were talking to, you could have stopped this nonsense, because I could have given you better water. That, you know, if you drink this water, you'll never be thirsty again." So she jokes and she says, "Ha, I want to have that water because then I don't have to be coming here again." And then Jesus says, where is your husband? Which is kind of disconnect. It's like, "Oh, I just joked and then you're saying, where is my husband?" You know, and she says, "I don't have, you know, anyone." And Jesus says, "Actually, you have said the truth, because even the man that you're living with at this moment is not your husband." And she, you know, what Jesus had said she knew was true, because that was her lived experience. So she says, "But you Jews worship God in Jerusalem, but we worship God on this mountain." And Jesus says, "Actually, the time is coming. You know, when you will not actually have to be worshiping in Jerusalem or to be worshiping on this mountain, because you'll be worshiping in truth and in spirit. And actually, God is looking for those people that can be worshiping him in spirit and in truth." And, you know, God is spirit. It means God is not confined to a space. He's not confined to a place. He's not confined to a building. And worshiping in truth just means that our worship comes from the heart. Our worship comes from the heart. I want to remind us what we said last month. Actually, we talked on this very subject. And we say what Jesus Christ was actually addressing here, you know, was that often we are caught up. We are caught up in the temptation of, you know, how we do worship. And we're caught up in the temptation, you know, of, you know, worship only happens in this space. So coming to church, singing songs, like today was beautiful, you guys, amazing songs. Yeah, but, you know, we can be caught up in the doing, you know, of worship. But if our worship is just coming from our lips and not from our heart, it's all in vain. It's all for nothing, because you can express your worship to God, but your heart can be very, very far from God. And we should not worry. of how we are going to express our worship to God. When our heart is worshiping God, so if your heart is worshiping God, don't worry about how you're going to do the expressions. Because the phrase that I like to say is, if you heart it, you will do it. If you heart it, you will do it. If it is from the heart, then it's going to be expressed, whether through your singing or through whatever it is. If you heart it, you will do it. But it is the Spirit of God that helps us to worship Jesus better. And how does he do that? Number one, he directs our affections towards Jesus. He directs our affections towards Jesus. Philippians 3 verse 3 says, For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put not confidence in human effort. The more you grow in your affections of Jesus, the more you grow in your affections for Jesus Christ, the less you will grow in the affection towards your sin. Because the more affectionate towards Jesus you become, the less attractive to your sin and addictions you will be. Because Jesus now becomes the most attractive thing ever, if not person, in your life. But it is the work of the Spirit of God that helps you to grow in that affection. A Christian walk is a walk that is ever, ever growing in our affection for God. Ever. That's what, being a Christian is that every single day you're growing to love Jesus more. Every single day you're growing to have more affections for Jesus Christ. I used to have a friend who would cry every time he would eat good food. And, he would enjoy the food so much that he'd be like, just crying. Because the food was so good, he couldn't even express himself. We have to grow in our enjoyment of Jesus, that there are times that we cannot even express ourselves. We cannot even say words to explain how we're feeling, Jesus says, the time is coming, indeed it's here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. When you read that word, true worshipers, when I read about that, we can fall into dangers. One danger is the danger of condemnation. When you see yourself not worthy to be a true worshiper, but not only that, but you see that you stand helpless and that there's no one that can help you to be a true worshiper. So you stand and you're helpless and you just condemn yourself. And this is built in self, because you feel like you're the only one that can fix you. You're the only one that can sort it out. And because now you can't, then you condemn yourself. I'm not worthy like the other person. But the second danger is pride. If things are going well, if you're doing better, you can become proud and feel like my way of worship is better than that person. Because I read the Bible better than you, I am better than you. Pride, spiritual pride is so dangerous. Because I pray better, I pray more than you, then mine is good. My worship is better than you. And this also is built on self, because you feel like you can do it by yourself. So watch out for spiritual pride, because Christ actually speaks strongly. That's what was happening here. The Jews felt like we have it all together. But Christ would condemn the Pharisees, those who were teaching the law, and say, you are hypocrites. You are hypocrites, because you feel like you've got it all together and you've become proudful. And Jesus Christ does not want our worship to come from that human effort, as Paul says. So who are these true worshipers? The true worshipers are those who are thirsty. The true worshipers are those who are thirsty. If you read John 4 verse 13, Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. God does not call those who are satisfied. God calls the thirsty. He calls the thirsty and not the satisfied. He says, come to me. He calls those who are thirsty and not the satisfied. True worshipers, and just in other words, it means those who are authentic worshipers. You know, those who can be real. If you're thirsty, you don't hide who you are. You come because you know you see the need of God in your life. I am here, Lord. I am not enough. I am not enough unless you come. Meet me here, Lord. Meet me here. Thirsty people come to the well the way they are. They would be real with God. And this is worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Authentic type of worship. So Jesus calls the thirst not the satisfied because he is their satisfaction. May Jesus be our satisfaction. But however, for our affections for Jesus Christ to grow, for us to, you know, to be hangry towards God, it is not by human effort, because as worship comes from the heart, that we are more affectionate towards Jesus, that cannot come from a human effort. That is the work of the Spirit. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Because through the Holy Spirit, we are captivated by Jesus and not by experience. Sometimes you can just love the idea of this Jesus who gives you everything, the idea of Jesus who heals you every time, the idea of Jesus, you know, who just comes alongside you and he's always, just giving you the better, the good things in life. But not the idea of Jesus Christ who actually says, you know, grow in my relationship with me. And even though sometimes it's harder, but I have the Spirit of God. You know, the Spirit of God will strengthen you. Without the Spirit of God, you can become more attracted to what Jesus is holding in his hand than to be attracted to Jesus himself. Because sometimes you just want to receive, you know, what he has, but not him. But if you are thirsty, you know there's nothing that can satisfy you. It's only Jesus Christ that will satisfy your thirst. So therefore, it is out of that that you value Jesus above everything else, that you treasure Jesus above all things, that you're more satisfied in him above all things, that you honor him above all things, that you enjoy him above all things. The Spirit of God helps us worship Jesus by turning our affections towards Jesus. And the second way is he turns our encounter with Jesus into a lived and life-changing experience. Into a lived and life-changing experience. In fact, even life-giving experience. The lady that Christ met, the Samaritan woman, she was worshiping, but her lifestyle was not changed, because her worship, you know, was happening at this mountain, in that place, in this building. You know, so worship never became a part of her life. Through the Spirit of God, you know, true worship is that it will affect every part of our lives, because we know God is Spirit, and God is Spirit even in your office. God is Spirit, and therefore you're going to worship him by not stealing from your boss or being corrupt. God is Spirit, and he is Spirit, and he is God even in your home. So you're going to worship him by treating those that are around you better. God is Spirit even in your school. So you will live a life that you want to glorify him. You want to live a life that exalts him, because his Spirit is not just in one place. Everywhere you're going, he is there with you. So you want to worship him. Because where worship happens is not nearly as important as whom you worship. Where worship happens is not nearly as important as whom you worship. Whom you worship changes you. What you worship changes you. You're not the same. And if you encounter Jesus, your life will be changed. And that life will, you know, you're going to live this life, and that other people will actually experience this. Will experience this. And that's the desire that we have in our church community. We want all of us together that we can live lives of worship. We can live lives of worship as we are reaching young people better. That we can live lives of worship as people are coming as they are, so that they can get out of there as Jesus is. You know, we want to live lives of worship so that we are responding to God's activity in our lives. We want to live lives of worship so that even though we are weak people, but we say we are growing together in Jesus' name. Amen. Imagine what kind of church community that will be if we are living lives of worship, and that we want to see the life we live of worship affecting our lives in the way we relate with other people. What kind of church are we going to have? Or what kind of church do you dream about? Faith. Faith has a poem about the church she dreams about. And I want her to recite that poem, to just help us dream a type of church, you know, that we can have, or maybe that she desires, maybe that aligns with what you hope the church would be.
The church I pray for. I pray for a church that accepts strays, lets me heal at my own pace, has plenty room for flaws, no ceilings, just floors, because my issues stack higher than any architect can plan for. I pray for a church that accepts those that are weak, those who need church more than just once a week. And if a chain is only as strong as its weakest link, then a church is only as strong as its weakest saint. So I pray for a church that heals, not hurts. I pray for a church without glass walls, being on the inside looking out, close enough to see, but so out of reach. Big eyes, short arms, big signs, no love, fat bank account, but filled with people with no friends to count. They feel they don't count because they don't even have their identities figured out. 10 steps behind everyone else, and no one seems to want to wait up. I pray for a church where leaders are servants, not idols. Where members are family, not rivals, always in competition. I pray for a church that doesn't pretend, wearing plastic smiles, concealing bitterness, because life has thrown you one too many lemons and you don't know what to do with them, because lemonade is a cliche, and you'd rather throw these lemons back in life's face. I pray for a church that doesn't make people question, where is God in all this? Because through our hearts, we wear God on our sleeves. And God is not told what to do because this whole church idea is his. I pray for a church that doesn't turn its pews into judgment seats. A church that understands that we are called to be like Christ, not like you. I pray for a church that lets Jesus in, not just uses his name, but revolves around him. I pray that God makes me that kind of church. Thank you.
Wow. Yeah, that poem, Faith, just amazing. Very prophetic. And what kind of church do you want to have? You know, do you want to have a church that everybody feels welcome? And whatever type of church you dream about, you got to be a part of the process to make it happen. You got to be a part of it. Do you want to have a type of church where nobody gets out of this room without somebody talking to them? May you be a part of that process. May we be a type of church that nobody gets out without being prayed for. You know, you're chatting with someone, they tell you a story, and you're like, you know what? Can I just pray for you today? What kind of church do you dream about? And whatever that type of church is, God wants you to be a part of the process to make it happen. To make it happen. And I just want to encourage you guys that, as we share about these different ministries that we have for people to serve in, there are times that you can look at that ministry plan and feel like, actually, you know, with my giftings and with what I have, my passion, I'm not seeing anywhere where I'm fitting. But otherwise, I have this thing that I feel like God can do in this community. You know, I have people in this church that I admire that do ministries that we actually do not have, you know, planned at all. You know, there's a couple in our church community that always, when the church finishes, every single Sunday, they are talking to those who are new that day. They're meeting up with young people in the week and having lunches with them. You know, nobody is announcing these things, but they are doing them. You don't have to wait for a ministry to be announced for you to serve God in his community. So I want to encourage you guys, let's be the church where everybody is a part of something, because God is building his church and he has called us to be a part of it. Amen. Let me pray.
Thanks for listening to the Flood Church Sermon Podcast. Please send us your feedback by commenting below or by emailing floodlilongwe@gmail.com.